Blog Talk Radio.
After about a week-long break, Sportsaholics 24/7, I'm your host, John, joined by my co-host, Nick. Nick, what's going on?
Nothing much, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great right now. I'm just turning on the TV. I'm getting ready to watch the Penn State versus Minnesota game, first round of the Big Ten tournament. Let's get this win, Nittany Lions. So if you hear me going a little crazy, that's why, because I'm watching this big game right now. We have a lot to talk about today. You know, some NFL free agency, obviously March Madness and college basketball starting to heat up. But first of all, let's the local team, Brooklyn Nets, last night defeating the Miami Heat on the road 96-95. Now, the Nets are 3-0 against the Heat on the season so far, and all the games have been really close. You know, the Nets won this one by one, won another one by one. They won another one in double overtime. But I think people are starting to take the Nets seriously. The Nets now 33-30. They're the five seed in the East after the Wizards lost and the Nets won last night. And they're moving up. They're getting hot. They're finding their roles. Kids starting to get involved, become a much better coach. Nick, what do you think about this Nets team? Are you impressed by them, or are you still disappointed?
Well, what's there to be disappointed about? They beat Miami Heat. They beat LeBron. Even though they only won by 1 point, that is huge. Of course, the Nets are obviously going to make the playoffs this year, but what I'm most impressed at is that they can do this without Brook Lopez, because they really don't have that many great centers. They don't have that many great big men in the paint. So, and if you can do that without Brook Lopez, that really impresses me.
It is. That's a great point. And I think that you have to give a lot of credit to Andre Blatch, who's been playing out of his mind lately, and some other guys who have just been coming in. I mean, listen, they signed Jason Collins, not expecting a lot out of him. And even he hasn't been a star. He hasn't even been that good. But what he does, and, you know, some other big guys, backups, Mason Plumlee has been doing a great job. But a guy like Jason Collins to go in there and give you 5-6 minutes to give some rest to your starting center, Andre Blatch, or your backup, Mason Plumlee. And these three big men for the Nets are doing a very nice job. And last night, the star of the game, Paul Pierce, 29 points, some huge shots, huge threes at the end. And then it was also Sean Livingston, who had a huge deflection. The Heat had a few seconds left to try to get a shot of the buzzer. Sean Livingston deflected the inbounds pass. Clock expired. Nets won. Now, Nick, here is the million-dollar question, and this is actually our question of the day. So if you'd like to call in and answer this question at any point in the show, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. But the million-dollar question, our question of the day, does this win against the Heat last night on the road, and the fact that the Nets are now 3-0 against Miami, who are the back-to-back defending champions, does this make the Nets a legitimate title contender? Does it, Nick?
No. You're going out of your mind. I mean, yeah, they're a contender, but they're not going to win it. I don't think they'll – I mean, no, they're not going to. And I'll tell you why. The Heat is not – Miami Heat is not the best team in the NBA. The Pacers are the best team in the NBA. Because Miami Heat is still extremely flawed. They have a lot of holes in their lineup. The Pacers, if the Nets were to play the Pacers, let's be honest, the Pacers would kill them. Simply because of this, Roy Hibbert. Who on the Nets can stop Roy Hibbert? It's as simple as that. They're not winning the title. I'm sorry. I don't want to give your hopes up or anything, but I don't see it happening.
Nick, me and you, we agree a lot, but this time I'm going to have to disagree with you. I think that the Nets are getting hot at the right point of the season. You know, the old saying goes, doesn't matter how you start, matters how you finish. And right now, the season's final stretch of the NBA regular season, they are getting hot, they're winning games, they've beaten some very good teams lately, and especially Miami last night. And what we have to remember is, you know, the Nets struggled against the Pacers this season. But, again, the Nets played the Pacers earlier in the season, so that's when they weren't as good as they are now, and they're getting better as the season goes on. The Pacers have been struggling as of late, and I'm extremely impressed with the Nets because, you know, I was really disappointed up until the All-Star break with how they've been playing, made some big off-season acquisitions, a lot of big storylines going into the season. They were supposed to be title contenders from the start, but it didn't work out that way. And now the Nets are turning it on. They're meshing together, and everyone's playing well. And I'm very impressed. And I think that while I don't think they will win the championship this year, maybe next year, I think that that the way they're playing now, they can, if they played like they did last night every game, I think they can go to the finals. It'll be tough, but it's doable.
No. I mean, listen.
Wait, we have a caller right now.
Okay.
We have a caller. 1 second. Hi, who do we have here?
Hey, it's Mike from Queens. I haven't been
Mike
on the show.
Oh, welcome back.
How's it going?
Going well. Mike from Queens, what is your question or statement? Make this quick.
Well, I have a statement to make. I've just been a witness to a flamingo show in the great city of France, and I have to say it was utterly fantastic. If you or someone you know or love is...
All right, Mike from Queens, I'm going to have to cut you off. I don't know what this is. Thanks for calling in, I guess. But, I mean, just to wrap up this topic quickly, you don't think they're championship contenders. I think they could be championship contenders. We'll have to wait and see.
Because
now let's move on to the...
When the Nets beat the Pacers, then I would consider them championship contenders. But at this point in the paint, Pacers have a huge advantage. The perimeter game, about on par. But down in the paint, who's going to stop Roy Hibbert? Mason Plumlee and Jason Collins are both not—they're both good players, but they're not capable of stopping Roy Hibbert, the best center in the NBA.
Yeah, that is true. I do see your point there, but I think that the Nets—you know—the good thing about the Nets, they're so deep, so many different players that can score. So every game,
yeah.
And that'll really help them in a playoff series because you can't rely on one guy to win you a playoff series, you know, best out of seven. You got to win four of those seven games to advance.
Yeah.
And the Nets have four or five guys that can be the leading scorer any other night.
Yeah.
So that's a big advantage. All right, now let's move on to the next topic. Let's talk a little bit about Phil. We'll stay in the NBA quickly, a few minutes on this. Phil Jackson, reportedly going to be going to the Knicks now as their new GM. Nick, you're a Knicks fan. What does this mean?
Yeah. Stupidity. It might have been one of the worst moves James Dolan has ever made. He wasted a ridiculous amount of money on Phil Jackson. Here's the thing. Phil Jackson, great coach. But what he's doing right now is not coaching. He's being a GM. You realize how much money they're spending on somebody who has been a GM for the first time? The only reason why they brought him in is because he is a big name. James Dolan is turning into Woody Johnson, okay? That really, he's just bringing him in for publicity. He'll be irrelevant for an entire year because the Knicks have no draft picks anyway. I just don't understand what the point of it was. Stupid. Save money, get a new coach, get new players. You don't need a new GM.
Yeah, you know, you actually brought up a great point because my thinking of this in this whole situation is that he's a big name, Phil Jackson, and it'll bring in free agents, it'll keep Carmelo in New York, whatever. But that's a good point. He doesn't have experience, and it's a lot of money, and I want to see how this pans out because I think it could be good for the Knicks. Any change is good for the Knicks right now. Their front office, top to bottom, their whole organization, not just the front office, their players, everything, really not that great. They need to shake it up in New York, and I think that hiring Phil Jackson is a pretty good hire, but I do see your point.
You know what? James Dolan is playing with fire. There's really no other way to put it. Why would you get it? Why would you spend all this money on a new GM that has no experience of being a general manager when you take that money, maybe get new players or hire a new coach? He's not spending his money properly, and he clearly doesn't know anything about basketball.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think every Knicks fan, I mean, I'm not even a Knicks fan, but I agree with you. James Dolan is the worst owner in the NBA, and unfortunately you can't fire the owner. So the only way to get, I mean, I don't know how to get rid of Dolan eventually if he just calls it quits, but I think getting Phil Jackson should help.
You see, but here's the thing. Just because he was a great coach, I don't see him helping because of his lack of experience as a general manager. I mean, who knows? He might help, but so far I'm not convinced because of his lack of experience in that particular field. If they're hiring him as new coach, hey, I'd be happy. But hiring him as a GM, I don't love that move. Too much money on, you know, a leap of faith.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't know if Phil Jackson knows what he's getting himself into right now. Because
he doesn't.
You have to look at what the Knicks have to offer right now to other teams. They don't have any draft picks. They don't have any – I mean, they could have traded Melo before the trade deadline, but, I mean, they didn't do that. They don't have anyone of value to other teams. So I don't see how Phil Jackson will be able to make any big trades or anything. I think that the only thing that Phil Jackson can really do, which really any GM would be able to do this, is make some big free agent signings. But I think the appeal of Phil Jackson, it's kind of like Pat Riley in Miami. The appeal of Phil Jackson is going to make some guys, some big free agents, want to say, hey, maybe I'll play on this Knicks team. Maybe I will.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you can say that about any general manager or anything like that. But, I mean, I don't understand what goes through James Dolan's head, but you are absolutely right about Phil Jackson not knowing what he's getting himself into. He's like that. Phil Jackson is like that really skinny guy who enters a pie-eating contest and throws up right afterwards. I mean, it's kind of like that. That's basically what Phil Jackson is right now.
Well, that's an interesting way to put it, Nick, and I think that's a great way to wrap up this topic. We're just over halfway done with the show. Once again, if you want to call in, we already had Mike from Queens call in. If you want to call in, any questions, comments, anything we've talked about, anything we're going to talk about, anything we haven't talked about, if you want to call in about Flamingo shows like Mike from Queens did, go ahead. We'll hang up on you pretty quickly. But the number to call in is 347-884-8496. And as always, we appreciate your calls. Now let's move on to the NFL. NFL free agency just started very recently, and there have already been some pretty big moves. And I'll start quickly, what I think the best signing was so far. Justin Tuck, former New York Giant D lineman, to the Oakland Raiders. You know, the Raiders had an okay offense. And maybe I'm a little biased saying that because their quarterback was Matt McGloin, and I love Matt McGloin, but their offense was okay. Their defense was awful. I mean, you could put me out there. You can put the crew of sportsaholics out there, and we'd be able to score a touchdown against the Oakland Raiders defense. So I think getting a guy like Justin Tuck is a great D lineman. He could rush the quarterback. He can get the running back. He's a great D lineman. And he's also very versatile, too. I think making a signing like that is big. Nick, what free agent signing do you like the most?
I can tell you which one I hate the most.
Well, let me take one guess. Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis, of course. That one made me sick to my stomach. Although, as sick as it made me, though, I'm not mad at Darrell Revis. I can't get mad at him. I mean, what would I like him to do? I mean, he wants to go to the best team that's going to offer him the most money. I can't get mad at him. I probably would have done the same thing. So, and that, although I'm still sick to my stomach and all that. But, you know, another very big signing was, one of my favorites, honestly, was when the Broncos took Aqib Talib. There's a star cornerback, and of course, Wes Welker was accused of purposely injuring Aqib Talib, which is obviously not true. But I really do like that signing because he is excellent coverage. He's very fast, very athletic. He fits in well with the Broncos defense. And it seems to me like the Broncos are really trying to stack up on their defense and their offense is not exactly their top priority right now. That's what it seems. I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but to me that's what it seems like because they let Eric Decker go. They're stacking up with DeMarcus Ware and Aqib Talib.
Yeah, I find that interesting because the goal that the Broncos are going to be a Super Bowl contender as long as Peyton Manning is there. And last season they made it to the Super Bowl and they got blown out 43-8. I mean, you can't blame that one on the defense. Their offense was eight points. I know the Seahawks have a great defense, but for an offense like that, or like that they were supposed to be, 8 points, that's awful. So I'm surprised that they're focusing so much on the offense.
Well, you could blame both sides because Seattle, as much as Denver was dominated on offense by the Seahawks, their defense was just as dominated by the Seahawks on defense. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't just go by that game because no matter how you look at it, it's there, it happened. Literally everything was wrong with that game. So you can't nitpick with that game and say, well, we need to fix this, we need to fix that. I mean, that whole game, everything was wrong.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, but to me, I think the most disappointing thing watching that game was how poorly the offense played. So, you know, I guess John Elway disagrees with me. And, I mean, he is John Elway. He's the GM of the Broncos and one of the best quarterbacks ever. So he's right. I guess I'm wrong, but I don't know.
That's not right and wrong. You do have a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's.
I think
if I was him, I would be focusing on my offense.
I think I would be focusing on both. I would try to get a little bit here, a little bit there. I would try to get a few more running backs along with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In addition to No'Shawn Moreno, I would try to draft a new running back. Maybe, but unfortunately, their draft pick is way too low, so it's going to be hard to draft any good running backs. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
And there's not many good running backs available. That's probably why, because they already have Demaryius Thomas and Wes Welker and Julius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So they think, well, we're good with our receiving core. Well, yeah, you can say that, but I would get one more guy just in case, just to widen Peyton Manning's options. But John Elway's feeling is probably, well, Peyton Manning is arguably, well, not the best, but one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. And he thinks, well, he could work perfectly with what we're giving him. Which was not the case on Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, like I said,
not
you
at
really
all.
Can't go by that game.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, I mean, I think overall, the first few days of NFL free agency have been very exciting. And I think another interesting signing was Eric Decker to the Jets. And we'll talk about this quickly because we have just about 10 minutes left in the show. But personally, I think this is a great signing. Eric Decker is a guy at the University of Minnesota. I watched him play a lot in college. Incredible hands. He can catch everything. He has very underrated speed. And he's the guy that, you know, whoever the Jets quarterback is going to be next year, he's the guy that they'll be able to rely on to catch the ball, to do whatever. You know, the Jets got they released Antonio Holmes, so by getting a guy like Eric Decker, that's a big signing. Nick, what do you think about that signing?
Well, first of all, I think it's a fairly decent sign that they won't get Michael Vick, because I think they're – and it's a sign that they're going to rely on Geno Smith more, because he – even though he's not a rookie anymore, he's still new to the game. They want a I wouldn't say elite, but a top-notch, you know, great, very good receiver that Geno Smith can rely on, because he was just – last year, Geno Smith was thrown into the Sharks. He really did, like, what do you expect him to do with that receiving core? It wasn't easy. I mean, listen, he didn't have a great season, but it's not easy to be, it wasn't easy to be in Geno Smith's spot last year. So this is a sign that, hey, you know, we want to give Geno Smith a little boost with an elite receiver, and instead of bringing in Michael Vick, who could work with the Jets' core receiving core better than Geno Smith can.
Yeah, but I think the Jets have their guy in Geno Smith right now. And while he's not that great right now, I think there's a chance that he can develop into a...
who knows?
It's a pretty decent player.
Who knows? Honestly, who knows?
Exactly.
Like, last year, RG3 and the Redskins, they were people on ESPN. They were NFL analysts predicting the Redskins to be Super Bowl contenders last year. And look at how they were. They were much worse
exactly.
than the Jets were. I can tell you that much. So you never know. Maybe he'll have a sophomore slump. I don't know if I completely risk everything on him. I don't know if I can get. I don't know if they can count on him yet.
You
can't say he had a great year.
No, he didn't. But I think he's learning. He's developing.
He
he's still young.
It's a completely
exactly.
different thing. So I would maybe take another quarterback. I would take. You know, I wish they could get, like, Kyle Orton. I think he would be a perfect placement in the Jets because he's been, like, a backup quarterback his whole life. But, I mean, he's always been, like, the best backup quarterback in the NFL, it seems like. So I think that's a perfect placement on all that. That's my feeling. But, unfortunately, they can't get Kyle Orton.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's move on to the final topic of the show, college basketball. March Madness for all sports fans is arguably the best time of the year. Anything can happen, and the conference tournaments are getting underway. Some teams have already punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament, and there are some tournaments that I'm looking closely at. I think the Big Ten tournament is going to be exciting. The Big East tournament, which actually Nick and I are going to the finals.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
We'll discuss that a little later in the show. But, Nick, what team has surprised you so far with how well they've played in the in their conference tournament?
In their conference tournament?
Because I have one. I know one for sure.
Who's yours? I can't really think of one right now.
100% the Seton Hall Pirates out of the Big East.
Of course.
A lot of people might not have heard about this because it happens during the day. But first round, they beat Boston College. And today, they beat number 3 Villanova, who is the one seed in the Big East, behind a buzzer beater. So, that just shows how crazy March Madness is. And this is a team that I think I always like to say, you get hot and you're good to go. That's what UConn did a few years ago. They got to the Big East tournament and won, led by Kemba Walker, went all the way to the NCAA tournament finals, and they won that too. So if you're hot at the right time, and Seton Hall is hot at the right time, and I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship, but I think they have a chance to win this conference tournament now that they just beat the one seed. So that's my team that's really surprised me so far. Nick, do you know yours?
To be honest, I would kind of have to agree with that. But you know, after I watched the St. John's game, St. John's Providence game today. I might get surprised by one of those games. So who knows? There's going to be a lot of Cinderella teams. Seton Hall is certainly one of them. They're not going to win the Big East. I really don't see that happening. Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
I really see Creighton winning the Big East. I would love to see St. John make.
Oh, we have a caller. Hi, who do we have here?
This is Josh.
Hey, Josh, what's your question?
I have a question for you. Do you think that Wichita State is a legitimate tournament threat? I mean, we all know that they're undefeated, but we saw UNLV be undefeated in 91 and sort of flop in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're a legitimate tournament contender?
100%, and here's why. Last season, they made it to the Final Four, and they almost got to the finals. And they're doing the same thing. They return a lot of the same guys as last season. So the fact that they do that, they have experienced guys. They're very deep. They can rotate a lot of guys in. And I know they've had a pretty easy schedule, but it's not like their games have been close. They've blown out all the teams that they've played pretty much. And again, same team as last year that got to the Final Four. So I think that they are. Nick, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, they go undefeated. Excuse me. But the question is, are they a threat? Now, you are right about that. UNLV did, you know, choke in 91 and all that. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be – doesn't mean they're going to do the same thing. That doesn't mean that they're not a huge threat. The only thing is that they're not too great with their big men. They really don't have any big men that are really that great, but they have an excellent perimeter game with Ron Baker, Klay Anthony early, Nick Wiggins. I like the way they look, and you know, if they go on, they're going undefeated. You can't discount that.
Mhm. All right, Josh, thank you very much for calling in.
All right, anytime.
All right, so we have 3 minutes left in the show. Again, if anyone else wants to call in, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Thank you to Josh once again for calling in. So as we were talking about before, Seton Hall is a team that surprised both of us. They upset Villanova today in the Big East tournament. Villanova was number 3 in the country and the number 1 seed in the Big East. Now let's talk about another team in the Big East, Creighton. I'm hoping that I see them play when I go with you, Nick, on Saturday to Madison Square Garden to see the finals of the Big East tournament, because Doug McDermott is the best player in college basketball, in my opinion. We've talked about this on the show before. Is Creighton a legitimate title contender?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they be? They finished the number 2 seed in the Big East, which really surprises me. Villanova's out. They're done. So I don't see why they wouldn't be. Absolutely. In fact, I think they're going to win it all, mainly because of Doug McDermott.
Wait, they're going to win the NCAA tournament or the Big East tournament?
No, the Big East tournament.
Oh, okay.
Not the NCAA tournament, the Big East. Were you talking about the Big East or the NCAA?
Well, what do you think about the NCAA tournament? Do you think that they have a chance to go to the Final Four?
I think they have a chance. I think it's a rather slim chance, but I think they do have a chance. I think Florida, I'm calling it now, Florida, I think Florida is winning it all. It's a tough year for that. Before I was saying Syracuse, but I don't think so anymore. I think Florida is going to go all the way this year.
All right. Well, we're obviously going to have a preview show once the brackets come out, and we'll talk about all of our predictions and who we think is going to win. But you heard it there. Nick, we'll let you think about it a little more before our next show. But, Nick, you think the Florida Gators are going to win the national championship?
Florida Gators. Calling it now. Win the national championship.
All right. That's interesting. I don't think they will. I think Wichita State, I mean, I'm not going to say who I think is going to win yet because we're going to have a show about that, but I think Wichita State is definitely a team that can do it. I don't think Creighton is, because Doug McDermott is pretty much by far the best player on that team, and he's pretty much their whole team offensively. And when it comes to NCAA tournament time, you're going against the best teams in the country. You're going against teams that can play defense. You're going against teams with 3 or 4 guys that can score and that are great players. And Creighton doesn't really have that. You know, they have some other three-point shooters. But one guy, and I know Doug McDermott is incredible, best player in college basketball, but one guy can easily be shut down. And I think that'll happen in Creighton. So I think Wichita State's a team to look out for. I don't think Syracuse is. I don't think Florida is. I think they're a little bit overrated. They play in a pretty weak conference as well. So we'll have to see. I'm really going to be waiting, and I'm going to wait and see who wins the conference tournaments, because I think that'll be a great indicator of who has momentum going into the NCAA tournament. And momentum, like I said earlier, is the most important thing. When you're hot, you know, it could take you all the way. And that's, conference tournaments are very important, and I can't wait for the NCAA tournament to start.
Yeah.
All right, so...
just for one quick thing.
Nick, we only have 5 seconds left,
okay.
So we have to end the show. But thank you all for listening. Thanks for calling in today. Hope you enjoy the episode. We'll be back soon.